Mr. Speaker, could you assist the House, please? This is an important matter. Mr. Speaker, could you assist the House, please? This is an important matter. Could you assist the House, please? This is an important matter. Could you assist the House, please? This is an important matter.
Michael Malice here. It's Thursday night, closing off another week of delicious nightshade. Speaking of shade, I could not handle what had happened today. I couldn't handle it. Still can't handle it. It's 11 o'clock. The handles are not there. In case you haven't heard, my squeals of delight all the way deep in Brooklyn to wherever you might be, whatever inferior place you might be. This is from Politico. President Trump hit back at Nancy Pelosi today. It's so beautiful. Canceling a congressional trip to Afghanistan moments before they were about to depart. That's right. He issued a congressional travel ban. The counterpunch came in the form of a terse letter blasted out to reporters and promoted by Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Twitter. He didn't give them the heads up. It's like breaking up with... Who was it that broke up with... Matt Damon broke up with that girl on The Tonight Show. Like, he found, she found out about it. I forget her name, with the curly hair.
Was that the Sarah Silverman thing?
No. Right? She's got curly hair and she's got big cheekbones and she went crazy after that. It was kind of like that kind of thing. He broke up with her. Just look up Matt Damon breakup. This is kind of like that. She's really pretty too. Not Pelosi's not bad looking. That's neither here nor there. So instead of selling it to any of the people, they send it to Twitter. This was his first response since, as I covered yesterday, Pelosi insisted on postponing the annual State of the Union address on January 29th, citing security concerns, which are not really a thing, as she had said. What Trump said, Nancy Pelosi got in a pissing contest with the person who is the target of the Steele dossier. Because Trump doesn't like being petty and vindictive, and he's really bad at it. So, due to the shutdown, the best part of this is, you know that this letter has been dictated verbatim, and you know that the whole time he is, like, might literally be pissing his pants that he's laughing so hard. Like, I can't even handle it. Okay, I'm going to read it. Due to the shutdown, capital S! You know what? He might have typed this himself. I don't know. Did he type it himself or did he tell his secretary, make sure you capitalize shutdown. Make it a big letter, the biggest. I'm sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. That's three countries. She had to have any suitcases? How do you pack for Brussels and Egypt? That's going to be a few suitcases there, Nance. We will reschedule this 7-day excursion. It's like Travelocity or something. When the shutdown is over, in light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, the following is the most passive aggressive thing ever, and I love it so much. I'm sure you'd agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I'm not even going to ask, because not only do I know you would agree, I'm sure you'd agree. And the fact that he calls it a public relations event instead of, like, actual work is even more hilarious. In his letter, he called on her to remain in Washington during the shutdown, adding that lawmakers are welcome to make the trips abroad on commercial flights. Oh, you could still go on JetBlue, bitch. One of the funniest comments I've ever seen on the internet, and I don't know why this is so funny because it's such an obvious, stupid joke, but maybe because it was so obvious and stupid and it was just like one sentence, it really got me. In 2008, when Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton, was traveling around Iowa campaigning. This was the first state, of course, for the Democratic nomination. And there was a problem with her helicopter or plane. I think I'm 99% sure it was a helicopter. She was trying to hit every single county. And the article is on realclearpolitics.com. I remember this clear as day. And someone just commented, can't she just use her broom? And it stuck with me 11 years later. Okay. His decision, Politico suggests, here's one look at it. It's going to dramatically increase tensions with congressional Democrats who are already at odds with the White House over the longest government shutdown in history. Negotiations between the White House and Democratic leaders have virtually ceased, and there are no signs of a compromise that could bring the shutdown to a close. Well, I think landing a flight is a compromise. Like, he wants them to stay. They want to leave. Compromise is you stay. The president has often avoided directly attacking her, reserving his harshest critiques for other Democrats. But this letter signals that he's no longer willing to hold his fire when it comes to the House Speaker. White House officials insisted the letter was not... What? Oh, my God. This is amazing. They're doubling down. They're doubling down before the Democrats even respond. The White House said this is not a response to her call to cancel the State of the Union. Quote, she wasn't... scheduled to be back until Wednesday. The president wants her here to negotiate, Sanders told reporters, adding that federal workers are guaranteed to miss another paycheck if the shutdown isn't over by midway through next week. Wow. Oh, it's just a coincidence this happened the next day and no one's ever done this. Oh, and it's just a coincidence we did this as you were on the bus. Play the clip. This is the bus. They had to turn the bus around with all the Congress people on it because they didn't have their permission slip from Nancy Pelosi. Do you know what else? This is also a security nightmare. This trip was done, planned, in, unlike the State of the Union, where everyone knows when it's going to take place, where the Secret Service, you know, really has contingency plans. As Nancy Pelosi pointed out, you have all of basically the federal government officials in one room, so they really, really are paranoid. This, they don't tell people it's happening until it kind of happens because it's a lot harder if someone's on a flight and overseas and so on and so forth. So, yeah, there was no heads up. Trump aide says there are no plans to postpone the State of the Union at this time. Pelosi's office was unaware the letter was coming. They blasted it out shortly after 2 p.m., and a person familiar with the situation said they were supposed to leave at 3 p.m. I guess, see, when you're Nancy Pelosi or... you know, big shot congressperson, you don't have to get to the airport a lot earlier. That's fair. Secret Service is making sure you're safe. But, ooh, this is funny. It took, you know, I've missed flights and it sucks. But the difference is with me and Nancy Pelosi is I got in a later flight that day. It took more than 24 hours for the White House to formally respond to her speech, the speaker's request to postpone the speech. Senior aides had initially made a strategic decision to hold off on responding, and a White House official said Trump decided to hit back on his terms and timeline. Why does it and the official said, why does it merit an immediate or serious response? It's her suggestion. The 29th is 2 weeks away. There's no rush. A second White House official said Trump had canceled all congressional delegations abroad. They're called CODELs, congressional delegations, because of the shutdown, blocking members' use of military aircraft. Oh, my God. And the thing is, the military is pretty heavily pro-Trump, as we know. So you know this is playing well with them, that they don't have to, you know, glad hand with this some stupid congressperson. I'm sure there's some congresspeople that they would like to meet, Pelosi and some maybe the celebrities. But if you're for some place and you've got some jackass congressman, you got to shake their hand. It's really not that exciting. In halting her travel, he revealed an itinerary that was known to very few people due to security concerns. The White House official referred questions about whether the administration had breached protocol or threaten her security by publicly revealing her plan to Afghanistan to the Defense Department. So if you've got questions, call the Defense Department. And Steve Scalise's decision to reveal that Pelosi was going to Brussels angered Democrats, who worried it might result in the Afghanistan trip leaking. And her chief of staff, her deputy chief of staff, said on Twitter that the Brussels stops was required for pilot rest, and that her group had planned to meet with top NATO commanders to affirm that the United States' ironclad commitment to the NATO alliance, because obviously there are no phones that can reach Brussels, and you have to do this in person. And it's her place to do so as Speaker of the House, who's basically commander-in-chief. Her deputy chief of staff said the group was not planning to make a stop in Egypt on the trip, despite the president's letter mentioning the cancellation of a trip to that country. So not only did he cancel her trip to two countries, he canceled a trip she wasn't even going to make. He's like, you know, for good measure, you can't go to Egypt either. All right. Oh, yeah, you're canceling the State of the Union. I'm canceling two trips and an imaginary one. The purpose of the trip was to express appreciation and thanks to our men and women in uniform for their service and decoration, he tweeted. Despite Trump's decision, a White House official said the president would still send top staffers to Davos later this month, including several cabinet members. And previously, as we all know, he went to Iraq around Christmas, just days after the government partially closed over the border wall, which is hilarious. And also a Republican, Codell, led by Representative Lee Zeldin, went to several Middle East countries shortly before the new year. So this is totally partisan, totally petty, totally awesome. Lindsey Graham, who some people thought got his nuts as a result of the Kavanaugh hearings, expressed exasperation on Twitter. He said, quote, "This one sophomore response does not deserve another." This fucker, Lindsey Graham, let me remind everybody, during the campaign, when Lindsey Graham was running for president, as was Trump, they're both in the primaries, Lindsey Graham was talking shit on Trump, and Trump said, you know what? Not that long ago, Lindsey Graham was calling me for campaign contributions in the last cycle. I think I still have his number. And he can you look up Trump reads out Lindsey Graham's number? He read it out. And he goes, this is the number. And he read it out. It was the number. And then Lindsey Graham, remember, smashed his cell phone. So one sophomoric response does not deserve another. So I don't know if reading out someone's phone number is sophomoric, but smashing your phone, that sure showed him. As he put it, Speaker Pelosi's threat to cancel the State of the Union is very irresponsible and blatantly political. Trump denying her military travel to visit our troops in Afghanistan, our allies in Egypt, that didn't happen. And NATO is also inappropriate. Cool story, bro. In Afghanistan, government staffers were not necessarily thrilled about the pending trip, according to a person familiar with the process. A lot of people here were very pissed off about this trip, the person told Politico. Foreign service officers have been working overtime for 2 weeks on this trip for no pay, and Pelosi was set to arrive on a holiday weekend. And after the letter she wrote to the White House yesterday, it seemed like hypocrisy. Wow, fuck yeah. The Codell would have included seven Democrats, including Adam Schiff, Elliot Engel, and the guy who runs the Veterans Affairs panel, Mark Takano. Do we have that clip?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, let's play this.
To help him with Fox and Friends. So I say, okay, and I'll mention your name. He said, could you mention my name? I said, yes, I'll mention. And he gave me his number, and I found the card. I wrote the number down. I don't know if it's the right number. Let's try it. 202. An old number, 202-228-0292. So, I don't know, give it a shot.
And now find Lindsey smashes Trump's cell phone. This fucking hypocrite. It's absolutely ridiculous. So that's sophomoric. If you want to call that sophomoric, I think that's pretty sophomoric, it's fair to say. That's not much of a reach. And there's John Serrano's voice for some reason. I thought my voice was bad. And here we go. Here's this. And this is his response. Oh, he's got music.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta do the whole thing in slow motion.
Because I'm a badass.
Just like the beginning of Dexter.
If you destroy your cell phone, as everyone knows, your number doesn't change. You just have to get a new phone. Oh, look at him. He likes playing softball.
By the way, Matt Damon and Minnie Driver.
Minnie Driver. Thank you. That's who he dumped on The Tonight Show. What is this? What So is he saying because Trump gave out his number, he doesn't want anyone to call him?
Or if all else fails, you can always give your number to the Donald. This is for all the veterans.
Okay, so breaking cell phones to thank the veterans. If there's one thing veterans like, it's people not calling them. You know, that's what old people are all about. They love it when people don't call. What the fuck is he? That makes no sense. It'd be one thing if he broke Trump's phone. He's breaking your own phone. It's like if I borrowed Drew's car, right, and I like left it like messy or something. And Drew's like, oh yeah, I'll fucking show you. I'm just gonna drive this car off a bridge. Fuck you, dick.
And you never did it again.
I never did it again. That's true. Now next time it was Peter's car, and I'm gonna fill it with milk and tentacles. Speaking of tentacles. We have a segment that I love very, very, very much. It's called God's Mistakes. Okay, let's see if I can get this out right, because I've fucked it up the last three times. Take a look at this child molester dressed as a nun. What are God's mistakes? He doesn't know. All he knows is how to get children in his basement so he can molest them. Great. So God's mistakes was a term a friend of mine came up with. And the idea she had is that when God was creating all these creatures, the really fucked up ones, he threw at the bottom of the ocean because, like, no one's ever going to see this shit. So this is my segment about the most effed up forms of life. And I bring you the first picture we have. That's right. It's something, here's the Latin name. It's called Orthosternarchus tamandua. And some of you might know what a tamandua is, and if you don't, I'll tell you at the end of this segment. Now, you can see that it has a fin on the bottom, and it has two, what's that called? Pectoral is side, dorsal is back, ventral fin, one long ventral fin. Is it the ventral fin? The ventral fin's in the back.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, anyway, so it's a type of knife fish. And you could see kind of why it's called a knife fish, because the face is kind of like a handle. And then you've got the caudalous tail. How am I not knowing the anatomy of a fish? This is embarrassing. It is ventral. But ventral means, anyway, the point is knife fish are a very, very interesting group. There's lots of different types of knife fish. They call this in the trade Mueller's white knife fish, right? However, and look at that coloration. When you have that kind of coloration where it's like almost albino, you can see the red blush by the cheek, that's always a function of low light. Because cave troglodytism is a term. When you have those cave fish, they lose their pigment because there's no use for the pigment, right?
Real quick, though.
Yeah.
There you go. All the fins and stuff.
Anal fin, go down more. Pick it up. Pelvic fin.
Pelvic.
Is that the one elongated pelvic fin?
Yeah.
Because they have one fin that's stretched out, so I don't know if they're fused or it's the pelvic. Pelvic fins are paired. Oh, you fucked up. Don't go to that picture. God damn it. Okay. Anyway, these
could be a long anal fin.
Look up knife fish, because if you look up knife fish, it'll tell you what the physiology of a knife fish is. Their whole group are all, this is something they all have in common. They don't have any dorsal fins, or they rarely have one small one, but they all have, except for the abba, whatever. Anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. They don't come from the sea. These come from the Amazon, and they live at depths of only 60 feet, sometimes only 30 feet. That's weird. But the Amazon reaches depths that are much deeper than that. Sometimes they can get 300 feet deep, but the Amazon isn't crystal clear. There's mud, there's sediment sloshing around, and rotting vegetation releases tannins in the water. In fact, there's something called black water extract. There are certain types of fish people have in their aquariums that come from the Amazonian system, and they need that tea-like color in the water, and you add it to the water, it makes it very acidic and like tea. There are tannins, and it's made by this because of these tannins, which are organic molecules found in all sorts of plant tissues, which are not harmful. Because a lot of stuff that we have contains tannins. Wine, red wine, full of tannins. Tea, dark chocolate. If it's dark and tastes bitter, comes from a plant, it's probably got tannins in it, okay? So because of this, many rivers and streams in the Amazon basin are brown because of the bits of rainforest that fall in and rot over the years. And then you got 30 feet of depth, and you've got a very murky environment, right? What's the fin that the knife fish have?
The best I could find was pelvic fin.
Okay. That could be an elongated pelvic fin. Now, looks like a cavefish in a cave. And the eyes, they're barely there. And the other thing is the eyes have even become, and I couldn't get a good photo of this, slightly asymmetrical. One eye is a little further forward than the other. It is extremely rare for vertebrates to be asymmetrical. Obviously, our hearts are on one side, and we have things like other like that. But many invertebrates, like a good example, are lobsters, right? Lobsters have two claws. One is for gripping, and one is for cutting. They look completely different and have very different functions. Crabs, you know, the crabs on the beach, the fiddler crabs, will have one giant claw and one small one. So can you leave the fish up? It's very odd to have that kind of asymmetry. But knifefish, all of them, don't really need eyes. When you're talking about a knifefish, the biggest knifefish in the world is something called the electric eel. Put up a photo of an electric eel, please. Thank you. Now, electric eels, like all knifefish, they're the strongest version of this. They have a electric field around them. And this is what they use to detect other life in the water. The electric eel obviously uses it in an offensive capacity, but knifefishes in general use it to kind of sense what's in the water around them, as opposed to, there's the electric eel. You could see the fin takes up the entire length of the body. Where the fin starts at the left, that's its anal, that's its anus. So you've got like a very little bit of guts and head, and all the rest of that is battery and meat. You could see
junk in his trunk.
No, the junk is in the front by the vent. So, and these things can kill you or throw you across the room, at least. They're very, very dangerous. They can be. And because of that, you can't have anything else in the tank with them. What's interesting about that with the knifefish is because they rely on electricity, when you have them in an aquarium, you could have a clear tube and it'll stay in that tube. It thinks it's in a dark cave and you could see it. So that's a good little trick to work your way around the knifefish. So let's go back to the Mueller's, the white knife. So they can't emit enough electricity to shock a crocodile or anything like that, like the electric eel does, but they can use it to communicate and for electrolocation, some call it. They can sense their surroundings with their eyes closed, and they can use it to find worms and other stuff in that little tiny mouth. He's kind of got that seahorse snout. And suck it into a tiny mouth at the end of a long snout. And that's why they're called Tamandua, is the species name, because Tamandua is anteater in South America's Tupi language, and Tamanduas are also anteaters that live in the trees. Now, we've got two footage of these. You've got to see what these look like when they swim. Pop that first video. See, you have to keep them with a sandy base, and they eat worms. But if you notice, it's kind of like vacuum. It's not looking around. It's using its electric field. And you see that one fin is all they use to locomote. And they can move pretty much the same speed forward and backward, which not many fish can do. They are they're extremely rare. I think they're pretty expensive. Then we got another video of them. They're so cool looking. They're so cool looking. And the thing is, you have one in your house. Everyone's like, what is it? I've never had one, but it's like a monster. Yeah. That's with some little, they also fluoresce a little bit. I mean, they look like ghosts. Is that amazing? It's just, I think it's absolutely hypnotic. Now, there's also relatives. Let me tell you about another knifefish. There's something called a thermometer knifefish. And it's called a thermometer because it's shaped like a thermometer. And this is called Gymnor hapicthys rondoni. Let's show a picture of this. You could see its face. They've also got that snout. These live inside the sand. So unlike the Tamandua, where it's on top looking for stuff in the dirt, these actually are sand burrowers. So it's kind of like those snakes that live in the desert, those sand vipers. Let's play a video of these. Here's a tank of them, some of them not doing so hot, and some of them doing pretty good. But yeah, they burrow, and they're just sand divers. It's really sad because they need to be able to go deep in the sand, and they can't. So these are miserable and kind of lying on the surface and are not healthy. So yeah, you can see they're trying to bury themselves. And because if you live in the sand, you can detect electricity from other life forms. So you could tell the difference between something that's organic and alive and something that is dead. So knifefish are very, very cool. The most common knifefish people get are called clown knives, and I think they suck. They're not that interesting at all. Oh, damn, we're almost out of time. Holy shit. Okay. So let's do another segment because it's a very special day. As some of you know, when I first co-authored a book, it was for Matt Hughes from the UFC, Matt Hughes, Ultimate Fighting Champion, and I needed a model to help me construct the book. So I chose a book that I thought would be as little in common with Matt as possible. That way I could only look at it in terms of structure. And that book was Rue McClanahan's book, My First Eight Husbands and the Ones That Got Away. Rue McClanahan played Blanche on The Golden Girls. Well, today is Betty White's 97th birthday. And it is my desperate hope that the Golden Girls outlive the Beatles. And there's still an outside chance that that could happen. And I wanted to play my absolute favorite. And the thing I love about the internet is, let's play my favorite Golden Girls joke. And we found it in 10 seconds.
What would you call this, like maybe a segment? Is this?
Oh yeah, this
segment,
is Nightshine. Yeah. Sorry. Looks like someone's got a case of the Mondays. So Betty White makes me happy. Betty White makes a lot of people happy. There was that great Facebook campaign. It was like, let's make Betty White host Saturday Night Live. She hosted it. I didn't think it was that good of an episode. But other than Dolly Parton, I don't think anyone is as beloved in America as Betty White. And by the way, she used to do these like porno photos back when she was starting, when being an actress was basically akin to being a porn star. Let's play this clip.
You know, this reminds me of the story of Gunilla Ulfstadter, St. Olaf's very own angel of death.
Tell it, Rose, tell it.
Really, all the way through?
All the way through, but please try to make the end come as close to the beginning as possible.
Well, Gunilla Ulfstadter was a nurse at Cedars of St. Olaf Hospital. One night she was taking care of Sven Bjornsson, and he asked her if she would get him some more mouth moisteners and then kill him. Gunilla brought the mouth moisteners right away, but the killing thing, it seemed to go against everything she'd been taught.
You're doing beautifully, Rose.
He begged, and by her coffee break, she couldn't stand it anymore. So she pulled the plug, and he died. Well, she was racked with guilt that night. Not only had she parked her car in a doctor's spot, but she was never sure whether Sven's pleading was the pain talking, or the medication talking, or the guy in the next bed talking. You see, the guy in the next bed was Ingmar von Bergen, St. Olaf's meanest ventriloquist.
Look at their faces. Look at their fucking faces. So if you know anything about the Golden Girls, it was a real problem for them when they had to sit there and watch Betty White tell these long meandering stories with that perfect delivery and not lose their shit laughing. And the writers every season kept getting it further and kept taking the stories further and further and more ridiculous. And this actually was a problem. Another problem with the show is that Estelle Getty, two funny stories with her. She really had very big problems learning her lines. So a lot of times they had to just do it in post, and she had to sit there in front of the camera without the audience after the audience was long gone, and they had to edit it back in afterwards. And another funny story, Estelle Getty came out of Broadway, so all, you know, her friends were gay and so on and so forth. So there was an episode where they thought that Rose had AIDS because she had a blood transfusion. And the whole episode, Estelle Getty, who knew a lot of people who had AIDS, she made her big break was in Torch Song Trilogy with Harvey Fierstein. She knew a lot of people who died of AIDS, and this is like, you know, so Golden Girls was early to late 80s. So the whole episode, Estelle's character, Sophia, is whenever Rose takes a drink from a coffee mug, she takes it to the sink and starts boiling and washing it really clean. And Estelle Getty was just crying hysterically the whole time. She's like, I can't do it. It's so mean. Like, and thinking of people, you know, that she had buried. But I don't think they play that episode too much in reruns now that I think about it. And yeah, Betty White is the only one left. So it's very sad. It's very unfortunate. But I am sure that Monday there's going to be even more drama, even more bullshit from Washington, and I cannot wait to share it with you all. And until then, I will wish you nothing but happy birthdays.
hope they don't have diabetes. You look really familiar. You must have a television.